Just a little something that I just feel, I just want to read it with the man in here with us. Titled December 2001, The Green Morning, just an excerpt from this. His name was Benjamin Driscoll, and he was 31 years old. And the thing he wanted was Mars grown green and tall with trees and foliage, producing air. More air, growing larger with each season. Trees to cool the towns in the boiling summer, trees to hold back the winter winds. There were so many things a tree could do. Add color, provide shade, drop fruit, or become a children's playground. A whole sky universe to climb and hang from. An architecture of food and pleasure. That was a tree. But most of all, the trees would distill an icy air for the lungs and a gentle rustling for the ear when you lay nights in your snowy bed and were gentle to sleep by the sound. Mr. Bradbury, where does that wonderful writing and...
God bless you. God has touched me. I was born with this ability. I begin and end with the ability to write. And when I heard you reading that, I said, my God, did I write that? It's beautiful. Thank God I was able to do that.
Thank God I was sitting here in this chair to read it. I hope everybody heard what I said. I said, thank God. And you did too. And so, Mr. Bradbury, what is your perception of God? Do I dare ask such a question?
No, it's the whole universe. You know, I work for the planetarium in Washington, D.C., at the Air and Space Museum. They wanted me to write a program for the planetarium, and I wrote a program, and I sent them a script of 30 pages, and they sent me 28 pages of criticism because I'm not a scientist. And we argued about the Big Bang. And I said to them, what's the problem here? They said, well, you said the Big Bang occurred in the universe 10 billion years ago. I said, when did it occur? And they said, 12 billion years ago. And, of course, they don't, that's the wrong answer. We don't know. We don't know when the universe began. So I brooded over this, and I thought, well, what if the universe has been here forever? And we're part of this incredible miracle. And out of this miracle, this, a ball of fire came out of the sun, and the earth cooled for a billion years, and the oceans formed with the rains, and the grass began to grow, and the microbes began to grow in the ocean. And finally, the creatures came out of the sea onto the land, and they looked at the sky, and they became birds, and along the way they became dinosaurs, and along the way they became apes, and along the way they became us. It's all a miracle. That's what God is. It's the total universe. And we put names to these things because we want to name them, but the universe is fantastic, and we've been created here because the theater is, the universe is a big theater, and it needs an audience. We are the audience. We human beings looked at the universe, and we are looking at the theater, and we are celebrating what we see. We witness and we celebrate. So that's what God is. We are all part of the flesh of the universe, and we are God, and we are his flesh.
You know, it's amazing. I was... As I got into the Martian Chronicles again, and you had mentioned that you wrote these stories individually, and then it became an entire volume. Is that
That's right? Yes.
So each story has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and yet the whole collection has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And this one, and the moon, be still as bright.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah.
If you don't mind, I would just read this little bit, and it is when the man has separated. I don't want to give the whole story away because I want people to go and get the Martian Chronicles and read them. But one of the men has decided to. This fellow named Spender has separated himself from the rest of the crew. This is another attempt to land on Mars, and he has discovered all these wonderful things all these wonderful cities and these wonderful writings and beautiful things that have been nurtured. And he winds up killing some of his crew members and realizes that this was not the thing to do, that they were just foolish and didn't get it. But this writing here, let me just pick it up here. The Martians discovered the secret of life among animals. The animal does not question life. It lives. Its very reason for living is life. It enjoys and relishes life. You see, the statuary, the animal symbols again and again. The captain says, it looks pagan. But Spender says, on the contrary, those are God symbols, symbols of life. Man had become too much man and not enough animal on Mars, too. And the men of Mars realized that in order to survive, they would have to forego asking that one question any longer, why live? Life was its own answer. Life was the propagation of more life and the living of as good a life as possible. The Martians realized that they asked the question, why live at all, at the height of some period of war and despair, when there was no answer. But once the civilization calmed, quieted, and wars ceased, the question became senseless in a new way. Life was now good and needed no arguments. It sounds to me that someone is speaking through you.
Life speaks through me, and we were all part of the miracle, and I discovered I was alive when I was 12, and it excited me, and I realized I owed to give the gift back. We're given the gift of life, and we must give the gift back to the universe around us. So my writing is a gift of my soul to the people, and if they read and they warm their hearts and their hands at my books, then I've done my job.
This is wonderful. They blended religion and art and science because at base, science is no more than an investigation of a miracle we can never explain, and art is an interpretation of that miracle.
That's right. That's absolutely right.